machine itself. Instead of, you don't hear anyone talking or anything, you just hear these things going around, going, so, good hearing.
Oh, you mean you got this additional?
Yeah. When I started to do this, so I could hear what was going on.
Oh, that's the reason why I meant to tell that to me.
Yeah, right. Right, you can't hear nothing.
Well, you can hear, but, what the second these old dirty ditties on them, the shanties on the thing one time. And, I recorded one, and it's got that all the way through it.
Yeah.
All of them have.
Yeah, that's where I got this.
What is that? What do you call that?
Microphone?
Huh?
Microphone?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't give it all.
You awake, Mr. Buckmaster?
Yeah, I'm not very much awake now, kind of dopey. I had a bump night last night. I got arthritis in the spine. The goddamn thing bothers me, and I can't sleep, see, so I wake up sleepy. Yeah, well, we start this off then and get through.
Okay. Let me ask you some questions about before, like where and when were you born?
I was born in Alaska, about 60 miles from Nome, a place called Daniels Creek. And I was 19-2.
And how'd you come to Seattle?
Oh, well, I had to get around. I can't stay in one place, you know. But the minute I come out here, I went 1 year to finished grade school, and then I went to sea. I've been going to sea ever since. Well, working in the woods a little bit once in a while. But most of the time going to sea.
What did your folks do in Alaska?
Well, the old man had a saloon when I was a kid. And then he had a transfer business. The old lady was squawking about the saloon, raising kids in the saloon, you know, so he's one in the transfer business. And water business, he had to, in the wintertime up there, they don't have no running water. You take this water around in tanks and deliver so many buckets each house. Summertime they got running water there. In the wintertime they didn't have it in those days. So they made the deliveries by horse team, big square tank full of water. Cross it on the back and then draw a couple buckets for this guy, a couple buckets for that guy.
Do you remember when you were growing up, did your family ever talk about politics or unions or anything like that?
When is this?
When you were growing up.
Oh yeah, sure, we had. We had some awful good union men hanging around the old man's saloon there. Some of them old Western Federation of Miner men come up from the western states, Idaho, Montana, part of Washington around there. They were all strong union men. They'd be around the place.
So when the general strike started, or when the shipyard strike started, were you shipping them? What were you doing?
Well, I had already started to see, but I was working in Ames' shipyard at that time when the general strike started.
Oh, what were you doing there?
Well, I was heating rivets and bucking up, holding on. That's before I started working in the rigging. There was I worked in a handgun there, held on to a handgun. And also machine rivets. But But like I say, I was just a young guy, and I was 20 years old. I've been there, hell of a lot to say in the operation of that strike. I had quite a bit to say in 21. A sailor strike, but that general strike, I didn't have much to say about it.
Were you in favor of it?
Well, no, general strike, it's a good deal. General strike is a real good deal. You show you got the power and everything, but it always gets out of hand. 9 chances out of 10, you can't control it after it gets started. Gets out of hand, some son of a bitch has got his own axe to grind, he's in there doing this and that. Makes it too complicated because the strike then, it ceases to be controlled by the real worker that's involved in that beef. You try to keep it down. See, we had in 1921 strike was right after the 1919 general strike, and we didn't want a general strike because we figured to get out of hand, and when they call the general strike off, it'll let you leave you holding the bag. And they said, oh, the strike's breaking up. It's not breaking up at all. But you can't involve other people like that anyway. That's just like a two guys out in the street fighting, and some son of a bitch wants to butt into it. And sometimes it's the best thing you can have, used as a final threat. And so long as you keep things moving all the time, and you make a gain by a general strike, but it's too fucking risky because you'll end up there with a bunch of bastards taking a drill and strike just not involved in as much as you are. And you lose out. So I'm against the general strike. That's an ordinary thing. If you put that on there as a final threat and come step down on them, it's sometimes a good thing, but usually it blows up on you.
What did you think it was going to be like before you started? I mean, did you think it was like a big strike or a revolution or what?
No, we didn't think it was no revolution at all. It was just an ordinary strike.
Did you think it was unusual that so many other unions backed the shipyard strike?
Oh, no, we had a good union thought going on those days. Everybody was more or less enthused with unionism. They knew that's the only way they was going to get any gains. They just began to wake up. And they had a good deal, but you can't control, like I say, you can't control a general strike. A lot of the real union guys that knew what it was all about were scared as hell of the general strike. Because you know, when the other guys got tired and they went back to work, it would be impossible for you to keep that many people out of work. But they were going to go back, and then you weaken the strike.
You mean the original shipyard strike would be weakened by everyone else going back?
Yeah, sure. Once you got them to go out with you, look at that dirty bitch. He's jerking in that fucking police dog. Now, you see, you get it's all right for a little while everything is hot, and then pretty soon it cools off, and this bunch of bastards want to go back, that bunch wants to go back, and the goddamn strike is gone on you. So don't pay to take any help. Do it on your own. We had a lot of help due to the fact that we was all the maritime groups. All the maritime groups was together. The firemen, the ship's firemen, the sailors, the cooks and stewards, and the engineers, and the mates. They were a weak link, but they were there anyway. And even the skippers, a lot of the skippers. We had it closed down. We didn't need any help from any uptown outfit. But we wanted that play around with that general strike. They haven't, I guess none of them had much experience on it, and they figured that's going to be the answer to everything.
Why did they go to the Central Labor Council and try to make it into a general strike?
Well, they wanted to impress the owners. That come over getting shoved around just like they do now. But they appointed a board of rats called the Massey Award Board. And they kept fucking around, stalling around for an indefinite time there. And then the people, when they seen we're getting tired of that, well, they go ahead. So we went on strike. We was on strike quite a while before they had the general strike. I just called the Massey Award strike. That just involved the shipyards and the work around the shipyards. And when we got all this help, then we lost it. We practically lost the goddamn thing. Or we went back and kept the union and everything, but we didn't do it. We actually lost by the strike because the time you was out, you was off of the payroll that long, you never got a goddamn game. So the guys that talked against the general strike was right. But you can't get some guy that's not involved there with the enthused with the same spirit you have. And get into it, jump in, feet first, and really help you out. And they do anything like that, well, then you're going to win a general strike, but that's the only way you can do it. And that don't happen very often.
So why do you think that it ended, the general strike part of it? Why did it only last a couple of days?
Well, you can't tie a city up like that for what you want when there's so many people that's not involved at all. He had the streetcar stopped, they had everything stopped. You know, what the hell has a streetcar man got to do with the last strike in the shipyard? He gets discussed with that too, after he's been off the payroll for a week or two. Maybe a family to keep. So that's why it never is going to work out. That is until they get a little more educated.
What else do you remember about the actual strike?
Well, there's nothing to remember about it. We were out on this Massey Award strike, and there's some of these so-called great union men, they wanted to experiment with the general strike. They said we'd go on the general strike.
Was it the union leaders who wanted it, or the radicals?
No, there was three factions. One of them trying to get more popular than the other one at the workers' expense.
What were these three factions?
I don't know what your name was, these three factions.
You say there were three factions?
Well, I've not necessarily pinned down three factions, there's 300 factions. The matter is just that there's a couple of factions there, some are stronger than the others, about three or four factions. And the guy from this faction is trying to steal the guys from that faction so you get a bigger vote. And it makes it too complicated, like I said, with a general strike. People ain't educated that far enough yet.
Did you eat in any of the strike eating halls at the time?
Oh, yes.
What was that like?
Oh, they had a pretty good kitchen. Now they had these guys from the Cooks and Stewards Union. They was on strike too. Instead of picket duty, they stood in picket duty in the kitchen. And it was pretty good. We had a good enough chow. Then you got your chow stamps,
when you come off the picket line and that's your cow steps, and you let it last you a couple of days and then you go and pick it again. That's the way they worked that. Worked out pretty good as far as the feed was going. We did all right on that strike, but it was doomed to be lost because it was too big a thing for them guys to handle at that time. We could do it better now, I guess, but I doubt it. Because you got so goddamn many scissor bills now, I listen to the bullshit from the big shots.
Do you remember the labor guard, the people who were going around patrolling without guns? They're sort of acting like cops.
Yeah. Just puttering skis, you find them every day, like today, you find the same sons of bitches.
How did you get your information about what was going on in the strike during that time?
You get it right in the meeting, everything is wide open. We let anybody come into meetings.
Uh-huh.
We didn't need it. Have a book there. Well, sometimes it'd be a closed meeting. But there were a lot of people going down there. They had these mental prostitutes from the press. They had to get down there and get their oar in it. Go out and misconstrue things when they put it in the paper. So you had that type, and then you had the guy that was buttering his own bread. The like of that, like you see every day in any kind of a trouble like that, there'll always be a bunch of rats that shouldn't be allowed to come in the meeting to be in there anyway. But we used to throw it open just as best as it. That took the sting out of everything. They couldn't get down and say they found this out, come back, pat themselves on the back, bend the knee and cross themselves three times. I found this out down at the Union Hall. Because we didn't give a shit what they found out.
See what? Oh, do you remember when the army came in?
Oh yeah, they had the. They had the. See, that's I never kept no records of that segment, but the. But I have a memory of all that. But see, something that you can't pin down. Say, but. All this stuff, naturally, I remember it. Because it was a big thing, and our side is one of them saying they're making this a dictatorship and all this shit.
What was the effect on the strikers of seeing the army?
Oh, we didn't give a shit about it. Didn't affect us a bit.
Do you think that the...
There might have been some of the weaklings that just... I know there was a certain amount of people that was nervous about the way things was going. They figured, oh, they're going to turn over. And of course, communists was a word you never heard those days. They didn't have nothing to do with it, but there was knocking the wobblers. They had to have some working class that could knock. So they said the wobblers are doing this and that, and they're undermining the government. All that shit, just like the battle now. Same kind of shit. And so they say, well, my God, we got to be careful. We got a revolution on our hands here, facing us right in the, staring us right in the face. These goddamn IWWs, of course, that's like I say, they couldn't say communists, they didn't know nothing about it. And they said, of course, by the way, I'm justly against the communists too. They're another bunch of cops. I guess they want to run the show and get the benefit of a labor's force to help them in their phony politics. And they're worse than the other bastards. But the old wobbly got the blame for all of that, because the wobblies were strong in the woods at that time. They had to do something. These goddamn big shot logging contractors was the worst people in the world to work for. But they found out after the run into a fire here and there. So it didn't pay them to monkey around with the loggers. And it was a shame, the Sabbath was a shame. Which is all well, I learned the best of lesson. I thought they were these big shots. And that's just like this Wesley Everest over in Everett hanging on Cuddy's balls out and all that stuff. That was done by a bunch of reactionary bastards. And he used those class of people to put their ideas over. But I think myself now is something like the ship owners that the logging contractors, they don't want no argument with labor. Because they seem to have lost out too much when they were having the beef for labor. And the ship owners, of course, them rats, they never give a shit what happens. Because they don't get hurt like a logging contractor, not as much. The ship's tied up and the government has some punk up in there. And the government will get them a subsidy for strike risks. And here they're getting paid for idle ships and everything while we're hitting the bricks with nothing to eat. So they're sitting pretty there. They're our worst enemies, the ship owners. And like I say, the logging companies, they more or less learned the lesson. They don't want no shit with us anymore.
Who was running the strike? Was anyone running the strike? The general strike? You say the Wobblies weren't really running it.
No, no, they blamed the Wobblies. That originally happened because labor wanted to give us guys on the water from the hand. They were called in now scabs from all over the country, back as far as Idaho and Montana. The mountain scab and the gang here, they were well protected by a bunch of scabby deputy sheriffs. And slowly, it didn't take much talk and to start a general strike. Because they figured, here, we're going to sit down here and let labor get this road cut right alongside of us. So they went. That's how a general strike started. The spirit was there. They wanted to go on a general strike. Although the old timers had knew something, they knew goddamn well a general strike was a dangerous thing not for the benefit of the country, it didn't hurt the country a goddamn bit, but you lose control of it. You can't control it because there's too many outsiders getting in there. Some son of a bitch is never in the union in his life. He gets up and gives him a big talk and makes a motion. He can't do nothing. Where do you come from, brother? Oh, I come from the shit shovelers union. They say, oh yeah, can't hurt anybody's feelings.
So then, do you think the strike altogether was worth it for labor, for the labor movement in Seattle?
Well, everything is worth some because it gave them an idea of what they could do and it showed them that they'd be willing to do it if you pressed them hard enough. So they've been standing clear on the general strikes ever since then. The boss, but so have we, because anybody that knew about it, knew that ahead of time, but we found out then and proved to the thick-headed guys that the general strike was no fucking good. It's too complicated and it's too bulky and you can't handle it. And like I say, a bunch of bastards too easy to get the rats in there from the company to make all kinds of motions. All of them detrimental to the union, that the guys are all excited. Big strike on, they don't analyze the goddamn moves that they're making. They're led into them half of the time. That general strike was a lot of shit. The only thing I say, like if you learn them a lesson that we can really can
get the gang out, united as a body to
to protect the worker when he's getting a dirty deal. And that's the only thing we gained out of the general strike. As it had been, it would have been more active and everything if they hadn't had the general strike. We just kept it to the waterfront where it belonged. See, we had the whole waterfront. We had the longshoremen. Without, before we had the general strike, we had the longshoremen and all the seafaring groups. We had the cooks and stewards, and sailors and firemen, engineers, mates, skippers. Skippers was out there in the stewards. And so there he was. We had a goddamn general strike right there. But they had to get these outsiders in there to make them general strike. They threatened them with a general strike just like a little kid. I'm going home and tell my papa, and he'll kick the shit out of your papa. And that's the way it was, like a bunch of goddamn kids. You see, we're going to have a general strike. Well, owners to hell when he was a general strike, but that he lost enough of those, he learned the lesson too, but they can, they'll learn a lesson and they'll assemble it, but goddamn worker, he can't. He's a goddamn dumb, especially old time worker who had to work when he was working. They don't work anymore. They go out there, it's just like going on a pension. We don't have nothing to do, shit for yourself. Like a gang, breaking down in salmon, that's the hardest work you can do in the waterfront. And we used to put out 45 ton an hour. Shit, what do you do now? 15 ton an hour. So you're getting your pension before you get voted a pension. You're getting off the owners because you just slow it down. 15 ton an hour, shit. We used to put out 45 ton an hour, discharging salmon. That's the hardest work you can do here because it's all bending down and picking up. See, you got to work the cases out because you jam in so close to you. That's a tough son of a bitch discharging that canned salmon. Tougher than shoveling or anything you can do for actual work.
What do you think could start a general strike today? Is there anything that you think would start it?
Well, I hope they never have one. No, I don't think there's anything they could do. Pull it, bring it on. Because they'd be told off, and they got the certain system there. They start knocking them in the press, and they go up and get the orders from the boss. He tells them do this and do that. So they write a big piece, and that affects some of these people. It's ridiculous the way that the goddamn part of the press act. Well, now you can't tell me because I seen it right in the newspaper. That makes it the holy of holies. That there's no doubt at all about that, no argument. Seen it in the newspaper. And that's where you want to be careful. That's where you want to look for a lie right away when you see it in the newspaper.
Is there anything that you would, that you can see where you would support a general strike, where you'd say, yeah, we would have a general strike about this?
Well, if a general strike is coming up, well, you'd have to show a Jewish survey in favor of making a solid deal. So you might be led into voting for a general strike, because you want to make it look real solid when you go out. You have such a so much better chance of winning when you show that you're solid. Go with any motion, even if it's a little foolish, there'll be some foolish one and some good one. But any real labor guy, he looks twice about this general strike business. Like I say, it gets out of hand. It's not fluid enough. And then they start fighting amongst themselves. And then you get a deal like we had in the Sailors Union there. And when Bridges come in, and there's Lundberg, and other goddamn bastards, me and a guy called Patty Morris, we drew up that Constitution for the Maritime Federation. But two big politicians, Lundberg and Bridges, they took over and competing for the positions in the Maritime Federation. And so about 2 years afterwards, the Maritime Federation broke up. But it was the best thing in the world. Of course, we had that, like I said, when we had the big strike there, we had the all the maritime groups and all the longshoremen was out, and all the waterfront truck drivers. So there you had the Maritime Federation that had organized, and it was already built for you. And we just stepped into it. And then when it became a bona fide organization, then every son of a bitch was looking for a pie card.
Remember Mayor Hansen at the time?
Oh, yeah.
What do you remember about him?
Well, they were knocking the poor bastard because he was in the spot there. And they're going to have this general strike. So he puts guards on the trucks. First guard you put in the trucks is on the paper trucks. Then the newspapers go around the trucks and the armed guards on the trucks. Oh, then he was selling the bitch right away. He had to swing on the meat for the positive D. But they blamed him. I guess he was just a stooge. I never paid much attention to that stuff at that time. I said I was only 20 years old.
How about Anna Louise Strong?
Well, she's a great old lady, right?
She active in that strike?
No, I don't remember her being in that strike. I'll give something, I'll give a little lecture. She did two lectures here during that strike. Of course, I don't figure that did us any good. Of course, it got sympathy amongst the intelligentsia. Paula Pinch.
How about Jimmy Duncan?
Oh, I know Jimmy Duncan good. He was a good old labor man, but he was too far behind. He didn't advance himself in the times. Although he was a fairly clear mind, and he was no double crosser. He was out and out for a lady.
How about, did you know, were you friends with or a member of the IWW?
Oh, I had a lot of members. I had a lot of friends who were members of the IWW. Although even when I worked in the woods, I never joined the IWWs. But the only reason I didn't join the IWWs, that they broke their policy with us guys. The Wabash was organized the unorganized. So when we lost the 21 strike, the goddamn bastard wanted to move in the waterfront, and he picks a number out the hat, puts it up for the gang to rally to. They call it the Marine Transport Workers 510. And see, if they'd have kept their nose out of the picture, we'd have been back in a bargaining position or even in control again. 2 years after that, after we lost the strike, that year we monkeyed around until it was 1934 before we had anything, before we could control any bargaining, just due to them bastards. And they were looking for pie cuts themselves, like most of the labor. And it's their only chance. That's just that's like back in Ireland and in Italy. The only chance is getting the priesthood. So the mother and the father save all the money and send the kid to school. He studies real hard, he might make it, and the next thing you know, he becomes a priest. He's sitting pretty, he's in the rackets already. But that's the same way here with this deal. That's the only chance, they got no other chance to become a labor pie card.
What happened after the strike? I mean, did it affect the city or affect you in any way?
Well, now you mean the general strike or the 21 strike?
After the general strike.
Well, no, it never affected the city. That goddamn general strike is a joke. It didn't amount to nothing one way or the other. It showed the boss, though, that the workers could be called out and could get united temporarily for a little while. It didn't have no effect of any kind as far as I could see.
What did you do after the strike?
I went back to Ames' shipyard. I was working at Ames' shipyard that time. And I went back there. We all went back to the same jobs we come off of.
What do you think has been the really important events in the country or in the world since that time?
Oh, Chris, I don't pay no attention to it. So crooked, there's no use paying any attention to it.
Have you belonged to any sorts of organization since that time?
Oh, Christ, yes. 57-year member of the Sailors' Union. Retired member from the Boilermakers. Retired member from the loggers. Yeah. Well, times are getting better all the time. Right now, you know, it'd be pretty hard for them to organize, to recruit a gang of scabs for any job. Because gradually it's sunk in that they better stick with the union. And it makes it tough as hell as a boss. He can't fall back on that volunteer group of rats that is willing to go out and stab on their fellow workers. But, of course, the way things move, you can't tell. 10 years from now, the bastards might all be stricken with the patriotic theme and want to put down the workers like they did there when they killed them boys over in Everett. Put down the wobblies. Now, of course, they can say put down the wobblies and the communists. They got another number, another name they can put in there, make it a little stronger. Of course, I'm against the goddamn phony communists because they're just as phony as the American Catholics. Same breed of bastards. Some opportunists have got their upper hand, they're going to keep it. And I guess when they handle it right, like over in Russia or something, they're going to keep it even if they have to bump off a third of the population. Not that I fall for the newspaper bullshit, but I've been in Russia and I see they don't stand for my monkey business.
Did you sail over there? Did you sail over to Russia?
I was over there long before they had this ship that they got now. There's a, I was there in 1920. And I was in a whale ship, American whale ship, Barkentine Thrasher. And we got caught in the ice there. They were 7 weeks in the ice. We couldn't make a move. And this Swenson, he was the head of that company. It was the Hibbard and Swenson Fur Company. And he's a remarkable bastard. He could talk Russian just like a native. And they got an Eskimo on that coast called the Chukchi. And that's the opposite number of the Eskimo over here, the Chukchi. And he could speak that Chukchi, Jesus Christ, just like a native. Speak Russian like a native. But he got hooked up there. He couldn't have finished him with his horse shit. He tried to bullshit them people, see, and they caught him. He took everything he had that year. He lost his profits, which that's the worst thing you can do to a capitalist, you know, and take his profits. That's the unpardonable sin. He lost his profits for that year, and he was lucky to get away with his life. But they don't take no bullshit. Of course, I'm against them. You know, they're not our class of people. These days, there's certainly a bunch of rats in this country where everything is Russian, it's all right. And the goddamn bastards, they should have to live there for a couple of years. They'd learn that they wouldn't get by with the shit that they get by with now. Because their people won't take no. No monkeying around at all. And they make it final. They put them up against the wall. They don't play around with them. They're still doing that.
What do you think of the labor movement in the country now?
Well, it should be better than ever right now. It's stronger than ever. Every guy is going to be in the union now. Yeah, I think we're so in the position now we never had. Of course, you can't look in the future. I think we're in a position we'll never have to go back to fight the Fink call like we did before. I think those days are over. And, it's getting better. It's getting better all the time for us guys. The working sticks. But then, their own dirty bastards will double cross you all like that. That's like this Social Security. And goddamn rats boring money out of that fund. They was boring money out of that fund without even paying any interest. And then they got it to the lowest interest. One government branch will borrow from the next government branch. They're paying the lowest interest, so they let them come under that instead of sticking them for button into this workers' fund. That's the workers' fund, the goddamn Social Security. It should be safer, more or less, never touched. But they get into it, they figure out, and these dirty bastards, it's the same son of a bitch that you elect. He's right there trying to help the big shots, use the workers' money. There's goddamn bullshit. Oh, they're no good. Of course, we can't say we need a revolution in this country because it'll just go from bad to worse. You got a good country here. All we got to do is straighten some of them out. Let the guy walk out of his front gate and chip a bomb and blow the best of the elements. A couple of things like that happen, Jesus, they'd all turn Christian. Yeah, they'd be good guys. Oh, we gotta respect the workers. And that's the only way you could ever get it. The other way is too slow. See, I'd be dead before they made any more gains worth the hill. Now they claim, you know, that we've gained about all we can, which is bullshit. We've got countries, for Christ's sake, in the world that's way ahead of us. America's supposed to lead the race with the good conditions for years. Christ, Australia's ahead of us. Denmark is ahead of us. By Christ, there's a dozen countries that's ahead of us, and we're the richest country in the world. Gee, them people in Denmark get the hospital after they're a certain age, they get all the hospital bills paid and everything. We do that here, we should do it here. And they don't have to bend the knee to get it. There's certain people here that wants to get it on the meat. And they don't worry about bending the knee. And they can get a little crumbs off of the table to help themselves out in their old age, their poverty. But the real guy, he wouldn't ask for any of that shit, so he don't get it. So I'm against all that shit. I don't want to talk about it because I get too mad.
What did you think about the civil rights movement?
Well, any movement that's got a nigger in, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. All these collar pinks and so-called reds that goes for the civil rights. And I suppose the way it is that you got to help them out if they're too weak to help themselves, but I don't want to be tied up with it. I'm a bitter hater of niggers because you can't do nothing with them. Just like going in the jungle and getting a bastard out of a tree. Same thing. You never make a union man out of them. Well, we got a few that's there's a few there on the waterfront and a few of them in the ships. It was all right. But the biggest part of them, I know. Why waste your time if you fix your battle up first? Get yours, and then you can help them out. But I'm against all that sort of bullshit. There's too many other people tied up, just parlor pigs and all that. They get in and want something to say. They shouldn't be allowed to even breathe, to my way of thinking. They're trying to live on the big heartedness of labor. Never done nothing for labor. They couldn't put a day, half a day's work in anyway, hardly any of them. So why get tied up with anything that they got anything to do with?
How about the student anti-war movement of the 60s?
Well, them kids, they were all right because they, of course, most of them didn't know nothing, but he had the right spirit, and he should have had enough education so that he could express himself. But it could have been a lot better as far as I'm concerned. They didn't do what they were, should have been able to do because they sent the schools a goddamn long and the other kids was out working, shoveling coal or setting chokers or something. They were there cramming this book knowledge, and then they can't even express themselves to explain what a bunch of bastards big shots are. They don't. If I had an education like that and the gift of gab, you could form the language is the kind of a bastard language you got anyway. But I could form my thoughts into that thing and put it out so the dumbest of the dumb could understand them. Well, I'd be selfish like everybody else. I'd be writing books, cashing in. But it's goddamn hard to beat the system because as soon as a guy gets in a position where he can really make it count, he's on the other side. He's trying to feather his own nest.
And what did you think of the women's movement?
Oh, I don't give a goddamn what you do. No. See, the women is a, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. They get up and put them goddamn phony talks on like they've been browbeaten in all their life. And those days is over. You never see the guy go home and beat the shit out of his wife for doing, making a cunt out of herself. Jesus Christ. If they would pull that stuff when I was a kid, what these women do is a thoughtless thing. They think it's part of the show. And if they was doing that, the old man would kick the shit out of them. But bring them back to sensibility. But they don't do it, they get away with it. I don't believe in saying a woman's going to stay in the house. That's the hardest part of the life between a man and a woman. She said, cooking for the kids and washing the dishes and everything, and she should get a break to get up and... It'll be all right for her to talk if you use a little sense. But they don't go to all that school, it's wasting time. The Chinaman's got the best idea. The hell with a girl. Put all your dough in the boy. They get up there and they don't know what they're talking about. Go to college, Vassar and all these goddamn phony fruit parlors. Sons of bitches, they don't know nothing. They can't, use your head somewhere or other. Too much for them. Well, I think that's normal with women. Women is a smart woman. Like this Madame Curie or somebody like that that gets ahead in science. Well, they're abnormal. They're not normal because it's not... It's drifting away from the woman's sphere so far that goddamn woman, most of them is nuts. It's against nature. And that don't mean that they're narrow-minded guys think this woman should just do this and that. They do anything they're able to, but they're not able to compete with a man in anything like that. It's ridiculous to think they are. And nothing. Outside of maybe writing stories. Especially if they got a TV, they can turn the TV on and let their mind wander out into space. And then they can end up with a story. Then they become a writer. Oh, well, now I tell you. That's all I know about this here thing. We can chop this off because I ain't doing you any good here. I get too bitter about this bullshit that they have going on here. We don't want to talk about it.
Well, that was my last question. The truth is...
And you get all the help you can at all times. And do every dirty trick you can against the boss because he does it against you. And that's the only way to get along with that son of a bitch. None of them is any good. They're all phonies. And they buy the politicians off left and right. That's why they made a joke out of politics. Say a politician or either a e-whore or a crook or thief. All kinds of things about the son of a bitch, which is mostly right. Because they get that way. They're doing nothing and they're collecting a pretty good wage. And it goes to the head. They're dying with dry rot. Just like a tree.
Have there been any politicians you thought were good people?
Oh, hell, I've known quite a few of them. But then they're so goddamn rare that you don't count. They don't count them. No, you don't count them. And then you take, right here, Washington, you got a good guy there, that Magnus. Now he's running mate, supposed to be beside him, Jackson. Regular punk. Regular fucking punk. And he'll shoot his mouth off. And say a thousand words what another man can express in 10. But he's just steeped in that fucking politics now until he's... Well, it's just like when you tan leather. Tan leather in a big pot of piss. And that's the way he is. He's pissed. Jesus Christ, what a fucking man. And he expects labor's vote. And he ain't satisfied with just labor's vote. Then he goes out and he wants to get the Jew vote. Jesus Christ Almighty, that son of a bitch. And you get very determined. I was in a ship with him. He never was a sailor. The only reason son of a bitch was there was because old Nat Moore down here in the Pacific Coast Coal Company was a great politician. And naturally he was a Democrat. Nice guy. And so he give, he used to do that with the office help, any big shot in the office, or any politician he was trying to win over, he'd give him a trip in this ship. This ship was only making short trips, 7-day trip to Alaska and back, see. It's called a Diamond Cement. And she went up to View Cove on Doll Island, loaded this lime rock and come down here to East Waterway and discharged it, and they cooked it up and made cement out of it. Well, this old Nat Moore, he figures the two Democrats will get two at the same time in there. Whereas Magnuson and the belly crawler, Jackson. Thank God, yes, well, of course, he didn't have no, he didn't show himself, he didn't have no axe to grind on there. But we followed him a little bit then. There were sailors that happened to be on the ship. We said, what's he doing in 10 minutes? Jesus Christ Almighty, that's when he turned loose. And he starts to get super American first, then super Jewish over in Africa there, where he had no business being, none of his goddamn business. But he had to especially make a big noise to show he's for the Jews, because he wanted to get that Jew vote when he got down there. He's what you call a mental prostitute. And I hope the Christ never wins an election again. He's won too many of them now, they should be chopped off like that. And all of that damn slimy bastard like that. There's too many politicians like that. But Magnuson was a good guy. But he don't, he couldn't play ball like that Jackson. He chanced I get to instant dyspepsia and turn over and die right there. Because he's a real guy. No real guy could put up with that kind of shit. There's one Democrat I'm not, I'm a solid Democrat all the way through, but there's one Democrat I'd never vote for. He is a louse. Well, you're damn near finished there, ain't you?
Yeah, I have